All right, well, we haven't seen him since May of last year, but on April 20th, he gets his shot at a strap. It is Bane Varner. Bane, I'm really looking forward to this, man. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me, dude.
So really quickly, I want to kick things off. We've been in the same circles. I used to train at Agema when we lived up in Provo. You obviously have been there for a handful of years. How did you get started in that gym? Because we've never really crossed paths, although we do have a lot of mutual friends.
Yeah, so originally I was training at University of Grappling. I was just doing jiu-jitsu. And I thought, it'd be fun to take a fight. So then I took a couple of fights, but I was just training at a jiu-jitsu gym. So I didn't really have like striking or anything like that. So then after that, there's some things that happened with that gym and it kind of like shut down. So then I was like, I need to find an MMA gym. And so I know they had opened that one up at the mall. So I started going there around like January of 2020.
That is very interesting. I didn't realize that you were at a different gym. And how many fights did you take when you were with University of Grappling?
I had two fights.
Yeah. Your thought process in going to Agema, was it just closest to home? Did you think about any of the other gyms in the area?
Well, I'd been to Wasatch. I met Dane there. And I liked – Wasatch was fine, but I had gone there before I went to UFG. And I just wanted to do jiu-jitsu. I didn't actually want to fight or anything like that. I was just trying to do jiu-jitsu. And I liked – University of Grappling, just kind of the way they did their jiu-jitsu program. And they did a lot of wrestling. And I came from a wrestling background. So, like, I wanted to wrestle. So, but after they shut down and I had two fights, I was like, well, I might as well just go to the MMA gym. And I knew that Dane was over there running the Agema. And I was like, he seemed like a nice guy. So, let me go over there and check that gym out. And I liked it. So, I was like, I'll stay here.
So, initially starting off grappling, this is all just new news to me. So, I'm just like throwing these out. But started off grappling. When did you make that decision that you were like, I do want to get into a fight? Was that always the plan or did that happen as you began to train more jiu-jitsu after your wrestling career?
No, actually, there was a guy at my ward, like at church, and he was fighting. And he fought Mitch Ramirez for the Still Fist amateur title. And I had just joined that ward and he fought him. And then he's like, yeah, dude, I was fighting, and he was telling me all about this fighting stuff. And then while I was doing jiu-jitsu, he's like, dude, do you want to do a fight? And I was like, yeah, I'll take a fight. And then he's like, you should message Mountain Force. And I was like, okay, I'll message them, because he's like, they'll let you fight. So I was like, I'll message Mountain Force, see if they'll let me fight. And they did. So I was like, okay, I'll take a fight and just see how it goes.
So one of the big things that kind of flew off the page for me, I called your fight back in May. And you had one of the greatest reactions to a win I have ever seen in my entire life. Like the most fired up fighter I think I've ever seen following a finish. And yeah. I was one, just impressed by the amount of energy that you brought into the cage, but also your lead up to it. What is your mindset and how do you flip that switch when you make your walk to the cage?
Flip the switch. I don't really know. I don't really think about the fight too much before it happens, because there's no point in stressing about something that you can't control. And because the way I view it is like the outcome is already going to happen. Like, I don't know what's going to happen, but it's already happened in my mind. So win or lose, it's like, I'll worry about it the day of the fight. So usually like when I'm in the back, that's when I kind of turn it on. Like before the fight, even the day of, like that day, there was UFC fights on. I was just watching the UFC fights, having fun. And then I was eating a bunch of food, of course, because you got to cut the weight. But I was just in the back. And then, you know, Alden Ashcraft, as you know, is an insane person. So he's like telling me all this crazy shit in the back and getting me hyped up. So like that was part of it, dude, is my mind just got I was just thinking about like conquering nations. I was reading scriptures as well, because that gets me hyped up as well. And basically Alden Ashcraft got me to turn into a crazy person for that fight.
And then you get this knockout and you, again, just have the most incredible reaction. What is your feeling? What are your emotions like when you get that win, when you knock someone out in your perspective?
You know, well, one is relief. It's like, thank God this is over. Thank God I don't have to fight anymore. And then two, I would just say it was just exciting, because I hadn't fought in 2 years. So to me, it was like, I haven't fought in 2 years, so I kind of need to make the most of this return fight. And I didn't want, you know, people talk about like ring rust. And I was like, we'll see if this is real. It's not real. It's fake. And then I was just like, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to fight. I'm just going to walk forward. I'm going to hit him. And when I hit him and he fell down, that felt pretty good. And then I was just hyped because it was like, I hadn't fought in 2 years. So I was just excited.
So you bring up something very interesting, saying like you were grateful that the fight was over, right? How much do you enjoy the process of fighting versus once you're actually in there? Like, when does it become enjoyable for you?
I would say just the fight itself is fun, but it's obviously like stressful. It's like your body is like just getting shocked all at once. It's like a car crash kind of deal. So the fight itself is always fun. And then after is the most fun. I think anyone would tell you after is the most fun, even, you know, win or lose. It's like, okay, that's awesome. Like I worked really hard for a couple months on something, trained really hard, and now the fight's over. But I like the fight itself. I don't really enjoy the buildup just because it's like you're dieting. You have to work out all the time, you know, and maybe some people are, oh, this is my life. I love working out. I hate it, dude. It sucks. I'm not enjoying training, dude. I get fat after the fights are over, okay? I'll gain 30, 40 pounds in 2 months. I don't care. But when the fight's on, I take it serious, and I take the training serious, and then when we fight, we fight. And I enjoy that. I enjoy the fight.
Do you feel like you've been acclimated at least to it, the emotions and the pre and post fight and all that, or is it still difficult all these years later?
No, it's easy, dude. It's like, I will tell you this. This kind of sucks is that, and I haven't even had that many fights. I had 5 fights. The wins are not as enjoyable as like the first win. So it's like diminishing returns, actually. But maybe winning a belt will make me feel more hyped.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that. So you had a title fight back in 2020, and now 4 years later, you get another opportunity at a strap. Where do you believe that you have improved over the last 4 years in preparation for this next one?
Well, I mean, that was my first fight with like an actual MMA gym and MMA camp. So I just understand how like to run a camp. Before, it was like I was just doing my own thing. So I would do jiu-jitsu 5-6 days a week, and then I would go spar my friend in his garage. So now it's like it's more structured. You've got all the class times at a Gima that I can go do. And then also just understanding like cardio, strength and conditioning, how to condition my body. So I would say that's just the main change. It's just understanding how the fight camp needs to be structured so that you can go into the fight and, you know, have the energy you need to actually complete the fight.
I hope I word this correctly. The way that you prepared leading into your first fights, leading into that title fight, those couple of fights that you had before versus now, do you ever like look back and just go like, man, what was I even doing back then in terms of your preparedness now for a fight versus back then?
Well, yeah, I mean, I didn't even know how to cut weight properly. I would just see what my weight was. I didn't know how to water load. I didn't know how to like cut carbs or anything like that. And I would just sweat it all out the day before. That was literally what I would do. So I didn't understand, you know, there's easier ways.
How much weight would you say you cut on one of those difficult cuts, like day of? What's maybe the most you've ever done?
Like 12 pounds. Jeez. The day of, but that's stupid. I'm never doing that again.
How much nicer is it now having the information and the knowledge that you have now to be able to cut weight more efficiently?
It's awesome, dude. The week is kind of lame. Like the week of is kind of, you know, miserable, but it's not that bad. It's really not that bad. It's actually, it's chill. It's nice to know how to cut weight the right way. So it's cool.
So one of the big things I wanted to ask you, this will be your third fight in 3 years. And
yeah,
going forward, say you do win the championship belt, are you looking to be more active over these next 12 months or so, or are you still looking to maybe average out about a fight a year, just depending on your schedule?
Yeah, you know, I wanted to fight like immediately after the last fight, but what happened was they offered me the title fight. And this is nobody's fault. It was just the dates they offered, I was like going to be out of town. And then when I went out of town, I got fat and happy. And then the next date they offered me, I was like a little too overweight. So then it was like, well, it just got pushed back. And so I didn't plan on it being 11 months for my next fight. So yeah, I want to after this fight. Hey, if I'm not hurt or anything, dude, maybe I'll fight in May. Maybe I'll fight in June. We'll see.
We'd love to have you on any card we possibly can. How difficult is it getting to 170 for you? I think this last fight, I believe it was at was it 85, 90? I can't 95. Remember. Was it 95? Mm-hmm. Okay. So what is it going to be like cutting back down 25 pounds to get to 70?
It's not too bad because I think if I was like optimized for my like weight class, I probably could get to 155. It's just, I was carrying a lot of extra fat and I hadn't fought in 2 years. So I just didn't want to worry about cutting weight. Because I don't really care about the size of my opponent or anything like that. The weight is just, it's probably better if I'm fighting at like my a more natural weight than just being like heavy.
You come from the most active gym for Fierce Fighting Championship being Agema. What do you make of the unending talent pool? I mean, Andrew Mickelson, Tyler Call, Brendan Myers, Mike Jones comes. I mean, so many guys come and get reps at the gym that you are stationed at. What do you just make of some of the big names that come out and you also being a part of that training room?
Well, they have me to train them, dude. I'm the best fighter in Utah. So obviously they're going to be the second and third best. So they're lucky to have me.
One of the big questions I've always wanted to ask you, like genuinely, is have you always been as much of an internet troll as it seems to be online?
And I was worse, dude. Honestly, I was worse. And I've got to tone it down a little because my wife might work for the FBI soon and they will investigate. And if they investigate me, my ass might go to jail.
Did your wife tell you like, hey, you've got to tone it down, or how did that kind of come to be?
Oh, yeah. Listen, dude. I've got different names with different bills on it because I've been doxxed so many times online, dude. I'll tell you this right now. My Google bill for my internet is not my name and it's not my wife's name because I'm done getting doxxed.
Can you tell me some of the best moments or maybe the best comments, or maybe you don't want to incriminate yourself, but what are some of the things that you have done that have maybe, you know, piqued your interest or made you chuckle looking back at it?
Well, I'll tell you this. So when I was younger, I had like a YouTube channel and it was actually kind of popular. I had like 10,000 YouTube followers, and it was called Stud Jenna. And what we used to do was we used to just like troll people, and like we would make videos. And then we also used to film like episodes of The Office and post the full episode on YouTube, but we would shake the camera the whole time, so they couldn't really watch it. It would be kind of messed up. And then we would do general pranks, but the channel got deleted for obvious reasons.
This might be a silly question, but do you have any specific like comedic idols or people that you enjoy watching or that you grew up watching that made you as funny as you are? I mean, I just got to call a spade a spade.
Yeah, well, I liked Chael Sonnen when I was growing up. And Chael Sonnen is the reason I got into wrestling, was because he was about to fight Anderson Silva and he was talking about his wrestling. And I was like, dude, and then I watched the fight and then all he did was take him down and beat him up the whole time. I was like, dude, that's sick. I need to learn to wrestle. So then literally like a week later when school started after that fight, UFC 117, I went to the wrestling coach that I wanted to wrestle because that's what Chael Sonnen did. And he didn't know who Chael Sonnen was. And he's like, okay, just show up with some wrestling shoes. And so I started wrestling. So I looked up to Chael Sonnen. Another thing, because I was thinking about it, and you can look this up on bjpenn.com. When I was younger, like 2014, 2015, I was trolling Paddy Houlihan. You know that guy?
Uh-huh.
He's from Ireland. I was telling him that, you know, he needed to go back to pick potatoes, and then he made a comment to me. So like thousands of Irish people were just insulting me for like a week. And BJ Penn said, fat troll gets owned by Paddy Houlihan. And you can see it. You can see the tweet.
Can you tell me how you got in contact with Chael Sonnen? That's one of my favorite stories. You told me it once after a Challenger series. It's a pretty good one.
Well, I cannot reveal my sources, but let's just say, as I told Chael Sonnen, I spent my last $1,200 on his phone number. And then I texted him until he called me because I wasn't going to take no for an answer. He did call me back. We did talk because I said, I'm going to go on Submission Underground. You don't need to worry about if I'm good at jiu-jitsu or not. You just need to worry about me getting on the show so I can call out Craig Jones and see what happens there. He told me he'd put me on the show if I kept bothering him, but they haven't had another Submission Underground since. So I'm still waiting. But we'll see.
All right. Let's get back on track a little bit. Talking a little bit more about March 23rd. What are some of the things that you are looking forward to? And what's something that fans can expect out of you on April 20th, I should say, the date has changed.
What can they expect from me? Is that what you're asking me?
Yeah.
Well, they're going to get the same thing they got in the last fight. I'm going to walk forward and I'm just going to punch my opponent as many times as I possibly can. And we'll see what happens. There is no game plan here, dude. I'm not worried about wrestling. I'm not worried about jiu-jitsu. I'm not worried about boxing. I'm going to walk forward. I'm going to punch him as hard as I can. And if that doesn't work, so be it.
There is never a dull moment talking with you, Bane Varner. Thank you so much for the time. April 20th, UVU. He is going to be fighting for the welterweight strap. Thank you so much for the time.
Yeah, no problem, dude. Thank you.